Welcome to Special Sauce, Serious Eats podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we talk to some of the leading lights of American culture, food folks and non-food folks alike.
What I love about working with a lot of people is that my joy of seeing them succeed in the end, like set them up for success, where I never was set up for success at all. Even in high school, I was already put in a special class. I'm already a nobody.
And I'm sure you were thinking you were in the loser class.
I was definitely in the loser class. But I was going to be the queen of the loser class.
I'm back with my friend Barbara Lynch, chef, restaurateur, and now memoirist, founder of Barbara Lynch Grupo. Barbara oversees 7 lauded culinary concepts, including No. 9 Park, B&G Oysters, The Butcher Shop, and Sportello. Barbara has won 2 James Beard Awards for Best Chef Northeast and Outstanding Restaurateur. And we have so many things to talk about, Barbara. So how old were you when you opened No. 9 Park?
I was 32.
You were 32.
In my mind, I always said I'm going to own my own restaurant by the time I'm 32.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was actually 33.
All right. So you were cheating. You were wrong. You were off.
No,
by
but
year.
In my mind, you know, right. I do set those goals that I don't tell anybody about, but I talk myself into
it. That's interesting. And those goals, you probably only started to set those goals once you knew you were on the path that you wanted and needed to be on.
Yeah, I think it was when I broke out of Taught English World and went to Rocco's and then I saw the strength.
Rocco's was another restaurant in the North End, right?
No, it was in, it's like behind the Four Seasons, on Charles Street.
Yeah.
It is a Charles Street, but not like the Charles Street may know in Beacon Hill. But that experience was my first executive chef experience. And the fact that I could pull that off was like, oh, I got this, you know?
So that was really a formative experience for you. It's like, I can do this.
Shit, this is okay. This is easy. I got this.
And did you think that you were ready to do it?
Not then. No, it took me a few more years to sort of really understand business and so forth.
And let's talk about the, you know, I mean, look, restaurants exist at the intersection of art and commerce, mm-hmm. right? And the commerce didn't come naturally to you.
No.
Right? If what I read in the book is so. And so...
Did I put in the book about when I opened the butcher shop by any chance? This guy, Frankie Sandals. We just call him Frankie Sandals.
Right.
He wears sandals all the time.
Okay.
Don't look at his feet.
Right.
And he's a tough guy.
Right. Right.
And so he's like, Lynch, you know, do you know how to do this, right? When you put the ground beef on the scale, you'll hold your thumb there a little longer. I'm not doing that, Frankie.
Right.
You might do it at King Tomatoes, but kid, I'm not going to do it at the butcher shop. And so commerce, learning how to...
Honest commerce.
Honest commerce was a really good way for me to be. And I realized that this is good.
It sounds like from the book that your husband played a really meaningful role in that.
In which way?
Just in terms of helping you sort of formalize commerce.
Yeah. He made legitimate sound great.
Whereas before it was a completely foreign concept.
Like, why do I have to pay taxes?
So, and now does the commerce part come easier?
I want to be in the White House. You know, it's like, yeah, I love it.
Oh, but you couldn't control Trump.
No, I wouldn't stand for his shit in a minute. But I think that it is right now is a very interesting time for if we can survive like the next.
Yes.
However, but I think it's going to be an interesting time for the white, like who's going to go in next. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for even, you know, working class people to be able to apply for a lobbyist position or somewhere in the White House. Like somehow or another, that chain has been broken, which is good and bad. But, you know, like the history of the Clintons. And so, you know, one of my great friends is Doris Kearns Goodwin, and I could listen to her all day long. Like she literally feels like she's lived in that White House. But I love the White House because of the respect of the rulers who put those rules in place
right.
make sense.
Of the institution, of the democracy.
The democracy.
Yeah.
Some of it doesn't.
Some of it doesn't work all the time.
No, like a bill that's been signed since 1934 right. should change. We are 2017. But,
right.
you know, but it's I just find it, like, fascinating what we're going through. Have you read the book called Dark Money?
No.
You should read that.
Really?
It's about the Koch brothers.
Oh, yes. I've heard about this.
It's a really good book.
It's really, really is dark, though.
It's freaking dark.
It's not really dark.
I mean, I don't think I'd hang out with that. I don't think we'd be playing in the same sandbox if we grew up together.
So, Number 9 Park is going well.
Going better than ever. We're 20 years old.
Right. And then was it because you had more intellectual curiosity about cooking different kinds of food? Like, what spurred you to open more restaurants?
I get bored easily. Right. So
it's the ADD kicking
in. It is
in.
The ADD. If I don't challenge myself, I'm at a shit show. So I always have to challenge myself with, like, another, some people call it curiosity, but I'm like that. I feed off of new knowledge or new whatever.
And you embrace uncertainty.
Yeah, I love uncertainty. Is that not the norm? I thought everybody
it's
was
really
saying that.
It's really not the norm, Barbara. I don't know how to say that, but
I love uncertainty. I thought it was the norm.
The other things, like the butcher shop where I had an awesome hot dog. I remember now I'm talking to you, like, I've had actually a lot more of your food than I first thought. I had the lobster roll when I was
trying
to
taste. Oh, my God. We made
it.
Those hot dogs at the butcher shop. They were so phallic looking. Remember that?
I was yes.
like, oh, my God. We got to cut the size down.
But I also know how hard making your own hot dogs, but it didn't stop you from doing it.
No. If Calium hot, or, you know, if a big company can do it, we can do it.
Even though it's like emulsion and it's like it's this and it's that, it's
but once
really...
you get it done, it's like easy breezy, right?
Right. So it was to avoid boredom that you were opening now 7 places.
Yeah, bored, and also saw probably an opportunity to fill these niches that Boston didn't have and to fulfill my own needs of wanting, you know, an oyster bar. Because why would I have to go all the way up to Essex, Mass. To have oysters in April on a bench and plastic cups of beer?
Right,
and,
you know. Bad tartar sauce. Yeah, and
like tartar sauce, right? And great coleslaw. And I do have a memory of, like, some amazing fried clams and fried scallops and fried fish just because of we used to have Sully's or Kelly's Landing.
Sure.
And everything was fried in different baskets, and you could tell.
By the way, I love you the way you say scallops.
Scallops?
Scallops. Scallops. Scallops.
No, I don't say scallops.
No, I know. I say scallops.
Puck. How do you say Pac?
Pac.
Bureau.
So would you like your daughter is 15 now?
13.
13. Could you imagine her following in your footsteps?
I could, actually. But, you know, I kind of hope she does whatever she wants to do. She's pretty interesting kid.
And probably, you're not going to be shocked, but I have a feeling she's probably pretty independent.
She's very independent. And sassy, and
sounds like someone I know who's sitting across from me.
She gets away with murder, but she has a great heart, and I do see a lot of similarities within us. But she has not, you know. Thank God, we're there. We love her. I'm a lot different than my mother was.
Yeah, and. Is your guiding light, like, I'm going to do everything the opposite of what my mother did to me?
I don't make that up. Like, that's not my, like, goal. But
right.
I'm aware of how I was raised. And that's I don't think anybody would want to wish that on any kid, no matter what.
It's not like you think you had a really unhappy childhood in South Boston.
I wouldn't change a thing. I mean,
right.
I still have my group of friends, and I mean, Southie, we would have South Boston reunions or project reunions every 5 years. So, you know, Old Harbor, Colony, D Street would have an Old Harbor project reunion, which is like 1,000 people.
Really?
Yeah. And we'd have more reunions because we never, a lot of us didn't go to college or high school
right.
or prom, you know, whatever you do after prom reunion kind of thing. None of that.
How many people that you know made it out the way you did?
As successful, you know, a few.
A few.
Yeah.
But not, certainly not the, it's the exception rather than the rule.
Right. I would, yeah. But Southie's a mix of politicians, great writers, authors, poets.
Right. And now there are restaurants, right?
And now restaurants. Yeah. Yeah. So a few of us made it out.
A quick shout out to one of our sponsors who brings you this message. HelloFresh, the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients, measured to exact quantities needed to eliminate food waste, and offers step-by-step recipes for delicious meals designed to take around 30 minutes to make, all of which are approved by 2 registered dietitians on staff. As of recently, you can even expect lighter fare and breakfast options, with each meal coming out to just under $10. And everything is delivered in a special insulated box, always with free shipping. For $30 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code SiriusEats30 when you subscribe.
Back with my friend Barbara Lynch. I can't believe you lacked for opportunities to open in other cities, but you live, your business is very much rooted in Boston. It's rooted in your roots.
Right.
I assume that's intentional, but like what has made you resist all those opportunities that must present themselves?
Whatever I do has to have a purpose, and I have to be able to see that purpose and feel the purpose. I can't feel a purpose if I'm going to go to Vegas. What the hell am I going to do in Vegas? Like, really? Right.
Right. And you couldn't, I'm sure you've had many opportunities to open restaurants.
I met with Steve Wynn and in 15 minutes I was like, oh my God, I don't know.
I get
you. You don't
this.
Even know. Chop it off, fucking saute it in a pan, and call it a day. Like, that is not a way.
For you to live.
No, I can't live that way. I cannot live that way. It takes a village to do what we do. You know, it takes kindness and dignity to respect one another who's working 120 hours a week, which restaurants, you know the hours. And when I don't feel that coming from anyone else, it's never going to work with me. So,
yeah.
And I don't have partners, per se. I just don't. I don't know. Those just didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think we all have the same vision and the same work ethic and the
right.
same drive.
I think what's remarkable to me is what comes through in the book, and now that we're talking, is this incredible generosity of spirit. It's not like you observed or you lived in a world where full of generously spirited people.
No, right?
Right, just opposite. The opposite, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the interesting thing is, how did you get to that place where that was so important to you that you could meet with Steve Wynn and say, this guy is not about generosity of spirit.
Right.
You know, he doesn't pretend to, right? He's a business person and he's a casino owner and a hotel owner. And, and like, how did you develop that point of view, that value system?
The value and loyalty system that I grew up with, mostly through my friends, is that's forever, you know. And
so that's where the community came in.
Community comes there. Loyalty comes with that. And this is my life. And so I'm not a flash in the pan. I'm not going to be cooking for 10 years and then call it quits. I mean, I need, you know, when I opened my first restaurant, I knew I needed to be 25 years open, 30 years open. Did I know I'd get this far? No, God, no. But in order to continue success and consistency is starts with how you are treated in the workforce. Believe me, I have many jobs that, like I, Brigham's, I wouldn't, you know.
Brigham's is the old-fashioned ice cream place
right.
in Boston.
Which I was the only cook that would ever show up. The managers wouldn't show up. So why would I have to put, if somebody left me $8, I'm not going to put it in the cash register.
Right.
Like, if nobody's there to oversee it and manage, well, I'll just take the cash.
Right. Anarchy and chaos will reign.
Yes. We will reign. Yeah. And a lot of candy to build gingerbread houses.
Right.
It was fun.
Right.
But also, what I love about working with a lot of people is that my joy of seeing them succeed in the end, like set them up for success, where I never was set up for success at all. So I do the total opposite of what I was raised as. You know, like, I mean, even in high school, I was already put in a special class.
Right.
Right. So I'm already a nobody.
Right. And you mean, and I'm sure you were thinking you were in the loser class.
I was definitely in the loser class.
I mean, I'm not casting aspersions.
No,
on your
I was definitely put in the loser class, but I was going to be the queen of the loser cast. I'm going to fucking own it for sure.
If I'm going to be the best loser,
I'm going to be it.
I'm going to be the leader of the losers.
That's true. There's going to be a leader somewhere, right?
That's interesting. And I presume that you get a lot of pleasure, as I do, with Serious Eats. And people always ask me about Kenji, you know, who worked for you. It's like, are you jealous of Kenji's success? It's like, are you kidding? That's what I live for now.
Yeah. I mean,
I want what happened to Kenji to happen to everyone who works at Serious Eats.
He's so proud. I'm so proud of him. I mean, he's come, my God, right? Who knew?
I mean, I
don't think he knew how to cook.
Yeah. And he worked for you for 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he used to tell me, and people say, well, did you know? It's like, no, I just knew that
he has such a scientific mind.
Yes,
he has
such
a science guy.
And so when I suggest to him, oh, why don't you write a food science column? It's like his face lit up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was this immediate viral sensation because he's such a good storyteller,
mm-hmm.
and he never talks down to his readers.
Right. No, he's great. He's great. And it's so nice to see somebody blossom like that, right?
Yes, that's what we live
for,
right?
Yeah, you find the talent. You know, you see the talent in him that he probably didn't know. And then here's an opportunity, and he grabbed it.
Exactly.
This is exactly where he should be. And that's his path, you know?
Right.
And
you probably feel that way about lots of cooks that have worked for you.
Totally, totally. And I think when they hit the bump in the road, they feel confident enough to either call me, come back, or, you know, if something wasn't right, I feel like sometimes I'm the one that can get them back on that track.
Yeah. So was it hard to write the memoir?
Was it hard? No. I mean, it's hard to, you almost have to live it again, you know. My friends have great memories, and I wrote, you know, a lot of things down because it's one of the ways I learned.
Yeah, you kept journals.
Yeah. I don't think it was hard. It's hard, of course, but it's therapeutic. I think the hard part is the tour part because it's, again, you relived it. You have to explain it. Okay, so when you write the memoir and then you're done and you feel like, oh, this is great. I feel like I lost 50 years or 50 pounds, right? But now you're explaining it.
Right, and you're adding the weight back on.
And you're adding the weight back on, right? Because you know, there's just a lot in there. And so I think once it settles down and boom, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's an extraordinary accomplishment.
Thank
really.
You.
It's really, you know, I'm in the process of writing sort of the Serious Eats story. And when I read your book, it's like, you know, if this can, you know, you have to be honest. You
don't
know,
hold back.
Thing,
yeah.
You know, it's one thing my editor said. He said, this book is only going to be as successful as you make it.
Yes.
And if you hold anything back, if it's not personal, if it doesn't have the ring of truth,
clearly it's not going to jive. It's just not going to work. It
right.
won't jive right.
And that's your book had the unerring ring of truth. You know, no, it's true. It's true. All right, so now it's time for the all you can answer special sauce buffet. So I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions, and you can take your time answering. They're fun. You know, we don't have a buzzer. We don't have...
I like fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who's at your last supper, no family allowed? Can be living or dead, people you know or don't know, but no family. Can be artists, could be Doris Kearns Goodwin's if you...
Oh, I'd have DKG.
I love it that you get to call her DKG. How awesome is that?
I'd have Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Julie Child. Melissa McCarthy. Oh, God, I don't know.
That's a great crew right there.
Right.
I mean, if you had one more, but that's enough.
I mean, I'd take a few more on. But.
No, that's good. That's good. And what would you be eating?
Oh, lobster.
Lobster.
Lobster, drawn butter. boiled potatoes, smashed. And then you bake them in a cast iron skillet with a little Parmesan cheese.
So they get crunchy?
We call them Irish potatoes.
Right.
Boiled lobster from Gloucester. And then I would have vanilla ice cream sundaes.
Just straight vanilla ice cream.
Brigham's vanilla ice cream.
Brigham's vanilla ice cream and chocolate sauce.
Yeah.
Would the chocolate sauce be house made?
Yeah, it would be.
Okay. Yeah. You have to have standards.
Yeah. You have to. And I might put walnuts on it, too.
You might put wet walnuts or dry?
Dry. Okay. Toasted.
Okay, toasted. I've never understood the appeal of wet walnuts.
What the hell's a wet walnut?
Wet walnuts is the walnuts in the syrup.
Oh, God, no.
Right? It's disgusting.
No. Yeah,
that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Wrong. Okay, I'm glad we agree about that. So what do you cook when you get home and there's not much in your house to work with?
I always have pasta dough in my freezer. So it's either that or if I have nothing, I know I'll have a jar of marinara and a box of rigatoni and extra virgin olive oil and lots of crushed red pepper and fleur de sel.
And what brand of marinara sauce?
Oh.
I'm a Rao's fan myself.
Are you? There's a place called Virgilio's in Gloucester, and he only sells us tomato sauce in Gloucester. And it's really good. And it's a big jar.
Right.
But the hot peppers are from Neil Rosenthal is an importer of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can go through those in a week.
Got it.
And really good extra virgin olive oil.
What's your guilty pleasure? Like, what do you find yourself eating when you're not thinking and you just want to satisfy yourself?
Oh, yeah, it's for sure. Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its.
And peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms.
And Diet Coke.
You know, I have to say that those are three things that are my guilty pleasures, too. I could go on. I have a long list.
Oh, I usually have a big box of Cheez-Its in my car. I mean, I just had to vacuum my car out yesterday. It was like a lot of Cheez-Its. And one or two.
And it's the Cheez-Its straight up, not the baked Cheez-Its.
No, the original. The original. Grab and go.
Don't
original.
Give the appearance of health. Yeah, you know, don't. It's like, that's just wrong.
No. You need, and I'd like to put them all in my mouth at once and they get, you know, you're really dry.
So who's the one person that you would love to sit down and break bread with just to find out how they think about the world? And again, this could be a historical figure. It could be an artist. It could be a musician. It could be an actor. It could be a politician.
I'd probably go with Milton Avery. He's just a painter I admire.
Oh, now no one has ever said that. And I love Milton Avery.
I do too. I just think when you think about food and a lot of things on a plate, sometimes you look at Matisse and you're like, ugh. I mean, it's beautiful.
Right.
But God, there's a lot going on besides the stripes, the prints, the vase, the window. And then you can look at Milton Avery's work and you're like,
I know, there's this beautiful simplicity.
Simplicity, it's like a symphony, right? And it's like incredible because of his where his vision is and where, you know, I just think he's great.
Yeah.
And so I would love to have him.
Yeah.
Probably.
I love that. I love that. So it's just been declared Barbara Lynch Day.
What?
Yep, all over the world.
Yeah, the best.
What is happening on that day?
Oh, we're going to go drink some great Chablis and eat oysters. Everybody should just stop what they're doing.
Of course.
And
it's
then
your
go
day. It's your call.
Dozens and dozens of oysters.
Okay.
And with either Muscadet or Chablis. And then go for some ice cream. And then take a long walk.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's a perfect Barbara Lynch day.
That's a good day.
That's awesome. All right. Thanks so much for sharing your special sauce with us, Barbara. It's really been fun.
Oh, my God. This is so fun.
Everyone, all serious eaters should read Out of Line, which if you're like me, you will be awed and moved by. And if you're ever in Boston, go to one of Barbara's many great restaurants. B&G's Lobster Roll is a transformative eating experience,
oh God,
I will tell you. And we'll see you next time, Serious Eaters. So long, everybody, and thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's great.